Thank you, Nathan. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to BCF Church. Welcome back to our series, Hungry. We're in part two of the series, Hungry. Last week, I asked you the question, is there anything you are hungry for more than food? Some of us today are hungry for a breakthrough. We need to see God show up in miraculous ways. We need the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. We need to see supernatural deliverance from our problems. Last Sunday, I led you as a congregation in prayer for our founding pastor, Kenny Lewis. Pastor Kenny had had a heart attack. This past Monday, he had triple bypass surgery. He is now recovering. He's out of ICU. He's in a post-cardiac unit. Now, yes, praise God. Praise God. He came out of that well. He's still recovering his strength. So they're asking, please don't all flood to the hospital to go and wish him well. Just family for now. And continue to pray. Continue as he's needs to breathe deeply, reopen up those lungs. Continue to pray for Pastor Kenny. So friends, where do you need God's help today? What deep need do you have that only God can fulfill? What are you hungry for more than food? Thank you, Dad. Last week, I challenged you to consider fasting. Going without food and or something else. I know some of you have some dietary needs. Going without food or something else for a period of time to focus on God. And I heard from a few of you about the things that you're fasting from. One lady told me she's fasting from doom scrolling. You know, that's where you're just going through your news feed, your social media constantly, just nonstop. She says, once I get to bed at night, I'm putting the phone away. Another person told me he's fasting from social media, from meat, and from coffee. Yeah, I hear some of you are like, what? That's possible? Last I checked, he is still alive. Others are fasting a meal. Some are fasting sugar. Some are fasting junk food. And what are we doing with this time instead? We are filling that time with God's Word. We started a 21-day Bible reading plan called Open Heaven. 21 days of fasting and prayer. And last Sunday, 110 of you joined me in this Bible reading plan saying, I want to focus on God. And friends, I am so proud of you. And it just lifts my spirit each day as I see the things that God is saying to you from His Word. Now, if you didn't join this reading plan last week, it's not too late. You can join today. Just jump right in on day 8 so you're on the same page as the rest of us. And I want to invite you, join us for now 14 more days of reading and prayer. And I told you last week, I'm going without movie and TV shows, the ones that I watch on my own, on my iPad at night. I'm also going without lunch for the next 21 days. Well, it's now 14 days to go. 2 weeks, I'm almost there. And maybe you're saying, well, what if I started fasting, but then I messed up? You know, maybe I said I'm going to go without caffeine, but then I forgot, and I just had a Coke. Friends, don't beat yourselves up. I was doing so well. I was on day 7 of my fast yesterday, and my wife brought some food from the farmer's market for lunch, and she called us, and I came downstairs, and I ate. I wasn't tempted. I just didn't even think. Until dinner time, I'm saying, is it time to eat dinner yet? And I realized, oh, I eat lunch, guys. Look, don't beat yourself up. I'm starting again today. Now, just a word of warning. If you are fasting for the first time, you might be a little irritable at first. That's normal. If you are going without coffee or caffeine, you might have a headache for a couple of days. That's your body detoxing. That's normal. If you're going without a meal on purpose for the first time, you might be a little hangry. This past Monday, first day of my fast, second day, actually. I'm upstairs. My wife's downstairs in the kitchen. She calls up, are you coming down for lunch? No. Did you already eat? No. Are you going to eat? No, I'm fasting. Okay, cranky. Now, I'm not excusing my behavior. I did go and apologize later for being cranky. But let's show each other a little bit of grace. Now, while you're fasting, you may get that urge to eat or to pick up your phone or to get a soda. What do you do? Ask yourself this question. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I am hungry for something more than food. Maybe you're hungry for change. You need to see some change in your own life, or maybe in the life of a loved one, or maybe change in our community, and we're saying, God, I am hungry for change. Friends, we don't fast in order to change God. We do this because we're saying, God, change me. This one time in the Bible, the people of Israel were fasting, they were praying, they were kind of just going through all these motions to try to impress God. And Isaiah records this conversation with God. I want you to see this. Isaiah, it's Isaiah chapter 58. And this is conversation. And the people of Israel say, we have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. Friends, wouldn't it be terrible if at the end of 21 days of fasting, God didn't even notice you were fasting? He wasn't even paying attention. Man, I would hate that. They said, well, God, you don't even notice. Why wasn't God paying attention to them? Well, God tells them. I will tell you why, I respond. This is God talking now. He says, it's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? He says, this kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. See, they're going through the outward motions. They're going without food. They're afflicting their souls, trying to impress God, but they didn't want to change the way they lived. They're still hurting people. God continues, no, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. See, God's saying, stop mistreating the people around you. If you want my attention, change on the inside. We're saying, God, start the change with me. God said, let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. If you have a pen or pencil, I want you to underline that. Remove the chains that bind people. There are some chains that are binding people in our community today. Chains of sin, chains of addiction, chains of broken families, chains of poverty. And this Easter, we're saying, God, we want you to break those chains. Just 2 weeks away in Easter, we're kicking off our series, Break Every Chain. Maybe you saw the banner out in our parking lot. We have some invitation cards. We want you to invite people to this Easter series because we want to see God break these chains in our community, in our lives. And this is why we are fasting in preparation for Easter. We're saying, God, we want to see you break every chain, and we know we need God's help. So how do I show God that I really am hungry for change? I'm not just going through the motions. Today, I want to share with you three things that people in the Bible did to show God that they were hungry for change. First thing they did is they admitted their failures. Admit your failures. In the Bible, there was a very cruel and evil, wicked nation called Assyria. And the nation of Assyria, they would attack the people of Israel, and they destroyed their cities, and they killed men and women and children. They were evil and cruel. And the capital city of Assyria was a place called Nineveh, located in modern-day Iraq. And God told a prophet named Jonah, in 40 days, I am going to completely destroy that capital city of Nineveh. if they don't change. He says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them. Now, the story of how Jonah eventually got to Nineveh, that's a whole other story. I encourage you, read about it in the book of Jonah. But Jonah finally got to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, and he's preaching to them, saying, in 40 days, God is going to destroy your city. And the Bible says, the people of Nineveh believed God's message. From the greatest to the least, they declared a fast, and they put on burlap to show their sorrow. So not only did they go without food, they wore itchy burlap clothing, like a potato sack, and this is their way of saying, God, I am sorry. And the king of Nineveh even gave orders that everyone, including the animals, go without food and water and wear itchy burlap clothes to say, God, we are sorry. And the king said this, everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. What is he doing? He's saying, we have a problem. We need to change. And he's saying, we are hungry for change. And the king prayed, said, who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. Friends, sometimes the change that we need to see in our lives, the problems that we're facing in our lives, we know deep down they're from our own making. Maybe today you're struggling financially, you're deep in debt and you can't pay your bills, and you know deep down inside, this is my fault. I made some foolish choices with my money. Or maybe you're struggling with an addiction. You're addicted to alcohol or to drugs or to pornography. And you know, this is my own fault. I made these choices. Friends, admit it. Admit it. Say, God, I am sorry. I admit my failures. This is not just a mistake, God. This is sin. Friends, God is in the business of forgiving and changing lives. The Bible says when God saw what they had done to show how they had put a stop to their evil ways, they said, we're changing. We're not just going through the outward motions. We are changing. He, God, changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. See, God changed his mind about destroying them when they showed that they were serious about changing who they were. Friends, if you are hungry for change, admit your failures. And then second, plead for God's mercy. There's a man named Daniel in the Bible. Daniel was a righteous man. He was a good, godly man, but his people were not. His people, the people of Israel, they had turned from God. They worshiped fake gods. All the things that God told them to stop doing, they did not stop doing. They continued to oppress people. They continued to hurt people. And so God said, okay, time's up. I'm sending you to exile for 70 years. And for 70 years, the people of Israel were taken out of their country and taken to far off Babylon, modern day Baghdad. And Daniel reads this prophecy from the book of Jeremiah. He's reading God's word. He sees God saying, I'm going to send you to exile for 70 years. And when Daniel reads this, they're 67 years into their exile. Daniel's like, our time is almost up. So he prays. The Bible says, so I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. And I wore rough burlap and I sprinkled myself with ashes and I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Now Daniel is not, he's not confessing his own sins. He's confessing the sins of his people, the people of Israel. Now, I don't have time to read all of Daniel's prayer today, but I encourage you, it is a beautiful, beautiful prayer. When you get home today, read Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's praying, he's saying, God, all these things that have happened to us, we deserve it. God, we turn from you. We rejected you. You warned us and we didn't listen. You said you were going to send us into exile and we didn't listen. He's saying, God, all these things that have happened to us, we deserve this. But then he prays this. We make this plea, not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. Underline that, because of your mercy. God loves to show mercy. He prays, oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. Now remember, Daniel, he's not pleading for his own sins. He's pleading for the sins of his people. And friends, we need to pray and confess the sins of our people, the sins of America. We have turned from God. We have embraced hatred and murder. And we've torn down God's commands from the temple, from our business places, our government buildings. We've taken prayer out of our schools, and we are now paying the price. We plead for God's mercy. Maybe the change you need to see, the change you are hungry for, it is in someone that you love. Maybe a child that's far from God. Maybe a spouse who is drifting away. Maybe it's a brother or a sister who keeps making horrible choices. And your prayer is, you're not praying, God, punish them. You're saying, God, show them your mercy. Mercy means we don't get what we deserve. God, show them your mercy. As Jesus was nailed to the cross, Jesus prayed this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The people who nailed Jesus to the cross did not know that they were killing the Son of God. And Jesus begged his Father for mercy. Now, how can a just God who must punish evil, how can he show us mercy? It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he was not dying for his own sins. He was paying the penalty for our sins. God shows us mercy because Jesus took our punishment on the cross. And then Jesus rose again from the dead 3 days later, proving we can have new life. And when we ask him to come in, he sends his Spirit to live inside us, gives us the power to change from the inside out. God shows us his mercy. Friends, today, if you are hungry for change, admit your failures. Confess your sins to God. Confess the sins of your people, the sins of our nation, maybe the sins of your loved ones, and plead for God's mercy. God loves to show mercy. And third, if you are hungry for change, change in your life, change in your loved ones, change in our country, in our community, number three, take your next step of obedience. Told you before about Saul. He's later called Paul. He wrote a good chunk of the New Testament. That's the second half of our Bibles. But at first, Saul did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he thought Jesus' followers were liars. And so he hunted them down and arrested them and put them in chains. And he was even a witness as some of them were executed for believing that Jesus rose from the dead and teaching that. And so one day, Saul is on his way to Damascus. He's going to find more Christians. He's going to lock them up. And as he's on the road to Damascus, he meets Jesus. A bright light shines down from heaven, just blinding, and he hears a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He's like, "Lord, who are you?" He's like, "Who am I persecuting?" He said, "I am Jesus, the one you've been persecuting." And he said, "Go into the city and wait there, and I will tell you what to do." Now, in that moment, Saul was struck blind. And so the men who are with him, they led him into the city of Damascus, where the Bible says Saul remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Saul is fasting. He's saying, "God, I am hungry for change." Now, this is huge. He had just been persecuting Christ followers. Now he finds out Jesus Christ is real. He really has risen from the dead. He is Lord. And Saul is like, "My whole life is turned upside down. I don't know what to do next." And he is fasting. He's going without food or water. And he's saying, "Jesus, I need change." And after 3 days of fasting, God told another believer named Ananias to go and find Saul and pray for him. And Ananias found him and he said, "Jesus, the one that you met on the road, sent me to find you and to pray for you so that you can see again and to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then Ananias said this, "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord." Friends, baptism is an outward sign of an inward truth that God has washed our sins away. And the Bible says instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight, and then he got up and he was baptized. He took the next step of obedience. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul has been fasting for 3 days, and he does not stop fasting until after he takes his next step of obedience and he is baptized. Now remember, he had just stopped persecuting Christians 3 days before. But now he's getting baptized. Friends, getting baptized is not saying, "God, I've arrived. God, I'm perfect now. God, I'm never going to sin again." Getting baptized is saying, "I'm getting started. Jesus has washed me clean from my sins. I'm just now getting started." So let me ask you, have you been baptized since putting your trust in Jesus Christ? What are you waiting for? Last Sunday, a young man named Carl Settle took that next step of obedience and got baptized at our young adults ministry. I want you to watch this.
Carl, a few days ago, I asked you what it means, what you believe it means to have Jesus in your heart. And you told me that it means that Jesus is here.
That's Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord, absolutely. So can you say again in front of your friends and family that Jesus is Lord?
Jesus is Lord.
Yes, amen. Plug your nose. Carl, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I've known Carl since he was a kid. And now, as a man, he's saying, "I'm putting my trust in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus. He is Lord. I want to be baptized." Friends, baptism is saying, "Jesus has washed me clean. I'm following him now." If you have not been baptized since putting your trust in Christ, that is your next step of obedience. On Good Friday, a little less than 2 weeks away from now, we are going to have a baptism celebration. And if you have not been baptized, we would love to invite you to come and be baptized on Good Friday and to invite your friends and invite your family to come and see you be baptized. Let us know on your connection card, or you can scan that QR code on the screen. If you're here in person today and you have questions, you can stop by our tables there at the back. Aaron Galvan is back there. His wife Leslie is back there. They would love to answer your questions and tell you more about getting baptized on Good Friday. Believe and be baptized. Maybe you've already been baptized. And you're saying, well, what's my next step of obedience? Maybe it's giving. Are you returning 10% of all that God has allowed you to make? Are you returning that to Him? Maybe it's serving. And you say, well, how do I start? Maybe it's stuffing eggs for that Easter celebration we're going to have on the land. That's going to be today at 1 o'clock. You can be part of that egg stuffing party. Maybe it's inviting people to church. Maybe it's getting connected to a small group. Take your next step of obedience. Are you hungry for change today? Turn to God today. Admit your failures. Admit your sins. He knows what they are. Plead for His mercy. He wants to forgive you and show you mercy today. And take your next step of obedience. And for some of you, that next step of obedience right now is to invite Jesus in. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, He's outside your life. But you heard today how much He loved you. He loved you enough to die for you. He rose again from the dead for you. He wants to give you new life today. He wants to wash you clean. He's ready to give you a new start. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. More than anything else, God wants your heart. So He says, come to me. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Say, God, I am sorry for my sins, and come to Him today. God, I am hungry for more than food. If you're ready to do that today, I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Just tell Jesus something like this. Dear Jesus, I've sinned. I've failed. He knows. I admit. In your great mercy, you died for my sins so I could be forgiven. You rose from the dead to give me new life. Just tell Him right now, Jesus, I believe. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose. For His mercy. Say, Jesus, please forgive me. Please wash me clean. Come into my life and be my Lord. It's like Carl prayed, Jesus is Lord. You're saying, Jesus is Lord. You're saying, be the owner of my life. Tell Him that right now. Jesus. On your connection card today, mark, today I have decided to give Christ control of my life. I would love to pray for you. I'd love to send you some next steps. If you didn't grab one of these programs, you can scan that QR code and let me know. I want to pray for you. I want to celebrate with you. In a minute, we're going to worship God with our offering time. We're going to do something a little bit different this Sunday. We're not going to pass an offering basket. See, I believe giving to God, it is a privilege. It's a step of obedience to say, God, I'm going to return 10% of all you've allowed me to make, and it is an act of faith. But I don't want to give any pressure on you to give, so we're not going to pass an offering basket today. When we're done, you can take your offering envelope with cash or check or credit card information, and you can drop it in our brand new prayer and giving center right over there. Or you can give online. bcfchurch.com or through our church center app or through texting that number. We're not going to pass an offering basket. I want you to give if you want to give. Now, if you're our guest here today, please don't feel any pressure to give. This is for our church family. If you're a guest today, stop by our welcome table when we're done today. We have a gift for you. Let us know how we can pray for you. Your connection card, let us know. Here's my deep need, and drop it in our prayer and giving center right over there, or our boxes around the room. Because during this next song, instead of focusing on a basket, I want you to talk to God. Friends, if you are hungry for change today, talk to God. Admit your failures. Confess your sins. Plead for God's mercy and say, Jesus, I will do the next thing you ask me to do. I will take that next step of obedience. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your great mercy. We've sinned. We've disobeyed you. We've put our hope and our trust in things that do not satisfy. And Father, our nation has sinned against you. We've murdered. We've hated. We've turned from your word. We have torn down your commands from our government buildings. And Father, we deserve whatever we get. Father, as a nation, we deserve violence and disease and poverty. But Father, we plead with you because of your mercy. Do not wipe us off the face of the earth. We make this plea not because we deserve your help, but because of your great mercy. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. We put our trust in you, oh Lord, because you never fail us. It's in Jesus' mighty name we plead for your mercy.